Good. The next talk is by Ayanara Mayumdar. Okay, sorry. He's from Auburn, and we'll talk on yellow marmored leaf beetle.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. All right. Welcome, everyone, again. My name is Ayanara, and I'm an entomologist at Auburn University. And I work on vegetables and peanuts, so I kind of row crop and horticulture crops mixed together. And I'm going to talk about the yellow margin leaf beetle, which has become a pretty major problem now in Alabama and many of the southern states. And you'll see some of the slides with the data. A lot of the research goes on at the in central Alabama and south Alabama, where it's really the worst, and it's causing a lot of problems for the growers. Now, this is funded by several grants over the years. So I just mentioned those on the slide. My cell phone number and email is easy. My email is probably easiest to remember. So, but this is what the insect looks like. It's the yellow margin leaf beetle. And it's the adult is about 5 millimeter long, dark brown to almost blackish. But it has this very unique... I don't know if the pointer will work. There is a pointer. It has this bar, yellow line on its elytra, and that's how it gets its name, yellow margin leaf beetle. And the eggs are laid in the soil or on the plants, just depends. And then the larva that hatches out, the larva and the adults feed together, and that's the problem. Is there's overlapping generations feeding together, causing massive outbreaks and complete defoliation of plants. They really prefer to feed on cabbages, turnips. Then they have other host plants, the other brassicas, that they will get on if they're really hungry and they don't have anything else. And they will also feed on a lot of the brassica, the weeds. So they don't like it very hot. They're a cool season pest. And as you can imagine, with our warmer winters, it's getting worse. When they used to sleep, now they don't sleep anymore. They're always active. So they're not. So that's the reason why it's become it's coming back as a major problem. So, and this is what happened. It actually started in Alabama in the 1940s, and it's gradually moved east and west throughout. And it's amazing that it's actually now in Illinois. And I think even at there's a report from Purdue that has come out with a pest alert in 2013. So evidently this insect is just moving and it's popping up. I don't know if, what's going on with this insect. It's not supposed to be cold hardy, but it is becoming a pest. And I marked some of the outbreaks that we have noticed in the last couple of years in Alabama. Just 2017, over $50,000 lost on these small farms. So it's typically the organic small farms that are complaining a lot. It's not been exposed to chemicals so much, so it's fairly easy to kill it with conventional chemistries, but it's the small organic farmers that's where it's tearing up the crops. And this is what it does. This, you're looking at pretty bad infestation on turnips, really tears up turnips. It does the same thing to some of the Chinese cabbage and some of the other vegetables. But it'll completely defoliate and goes through the stages. It'll first take the leaves. When it's done with the leaves, it'll move to the stems, and it burrow the stems. And then when the stem's done, it'll feed on the roots. And on the roots, you can have almost 90% crop loss. It's not even worth harvesting anymore at that level. So, and the other problem is, unlike turnips, that has more or less erect leaves, if you can spray the insect early enough, you can still kill them in turnips. But in cabbages, it runs and hides in those leaves, as you can imagine. Those outer leaves protect it from any insecticide. And then it really tears up those cabbages. It can really contaminate beyond just the direct feeding. The contamination issue is huge for these farmers. So, and the other problem is misidentification. Producers are not able to identify the feeding damage. Oftentimes they'll think it's a cabbage worm or a looper and try to use BT to use it to specifically kill caterpillars, and it's not caterpillars, it's the yellow margin leaf beetle, and the misapplication is happening because it's misidentified. So we're trying to have our extension program is directed to educate farmers how to identify the insects apart, even when you don't see the insect. Usually they're there, you just have to look hard enough. They're really good at camouflaging. They will hide from you. So they're difficult to scout. So the pest species, you know, is getting complex. So when we teach farmers, we are telling them there's three levels of pest management that is recommended by the organic systems. And today we're going to talk about the trap crops and bioinsecticides. But we are testing some others like pest exclusion systems. So pest exclusion is also a pretty neat way to kind of distract them and deter them from infesting the crop initially. So there's about two generations of them in Alabama and more in Florida. So this all started with student research, small plots with a lot of it in trap crops. So we're using turnips as a trap crop, as a perimeter trap crop. And let's see if I can bring the pointer. So those are your trap crops of turnips. And it's a perimeter, so all the four directions you see turnips planted about 2 weeks ahead of the main crop, which was cabbage in the middle, because it's very difficult to control in cabbage. So that turnip is a pretty good distraction for the insect. Again, this is, you're looking at the scale, and you can see this is early studies, and I'll show you the advanced studies. So this is what happened. Eventually, the yellow margin leaf beetles found those turnips, and they will take it down. And the pictures do the telling. So the cabbage is still standing pretty good. As long as this is a trap crop, you're okay. And we are experimenting, and it's a continuous work of how to control them in the trap crop and prevent them from moving. So it's been an incredible journey, and the students graduated, and my program still goes on a larger scale, and I'll show you. But overall, we found out that Pyganic and Entrust, Pyganic has natural pyrethrin, and Entrust is a spinosad. They do pretty good, but unfortunately, a lot of the other products just don't work. And there, very many of these companies don't even know about the yellow margin leaf beetle. It doesn't show up on the labels. So they're very unaware of the insect problem, but it's there. So we continue the testing with this. So this was a student, and we published the results in journal articles. So it's a pretty nice overview article that we just published in 2018. So now we designed a program for our through our beginning farmer program and also through the SAIR-funded organic program to tell farmers about this insect. Through publications and field visits. And this is what we're doing now. We took the student research into large-scale studies and demonstrations. And this is where you're looking at a pretty major location with lots of cabbage and turnips, and again, using turnips as a trap crop, and planting them 2 weeks ahead to get those beetles so that they mate and lay eggs in the turnips and spare the cabbages. So the cabbages are not contaminated. But the ratio is still pretty high in these early studies. And again, that picture, you saw the turnips. Pretty nice look at this picture where the turnips are actually gone because the yellow margin leaf beetles took them down. And it's pretty dramatic. So, but as long as the turnips are good, even at that scale, that's a pretty big study, you have the cabbages looking pretty good. And we have tried some more products. And again, I think that we are kind of getting back to where Pyganic and spinosad seems to be the only relief for farmers to use those on turnips. It's very difficult to even get them on cabbages because you just won't be able to get the insect. It's hiding so well. And this is, again, visual representation. You can see the Entrust, which is spinosad, and Pyganic still has those leaves, but the check is pretty much gone. So within 2 years, we are doing this study at two locations, and within 2 years, we are getting almost 60 to 70% crop damage, just average. It could go up to 90%, where it's not even worth harvesting if this was a farmer. So we've started at the virgin ground where we never had brassicas, and now within 2 years, this pest has built up and so I have a pretty good pop. I'm growing more yellow margin leaf beetles than turnips and cabbages. We're testing some other things. Again, we have tried to use some rotations, insect side rotations. Here it shows you the Azera, which is a neem and pyganic mixture. And then we added Zentari in the mix. Zentari is BT, so that we can take care of the caterpillars. Because my farmers are getting confused whether they have beetle or they have the caterpillar. So we're trying rotations that takes care of both insects, so that prevent complete crop failure. And we are getting some reduction there, as you can see. It's significant based on from control, but within the treatments, it's not so significant. So again, a lot of this is going to become eventually based on economics when the farmers really do it. But we continue to look at this. This is on cabbages, and as I said, the major problem with cabbages, once the insect is there, even if you get a kill, the cadavers, those dead insects, are inside those cabbages. So my farmers end up adding a step before marketing, is they have to take out those wrapper leaves, and then they have to clean the produce before selling. So that's an added cost, which at this point I don't know what's that doing to the farms. But it is a complex situation. So again, pictures on your left, that's the untreated check. Almost 67 average adults in those cabbages, and they hide under inside. But with your spinosad and pyganic use, you can bring it down to almost 9. So you still have some contamination, but you get a major relief. So this is again just a slide showing work over the past, student research, and then our extension program that continues to build. And I have marked the ones that are showing a trend where we're getting a strong trend in the control. So we keep looking at this, trying to reduce, and I have noted the single treatments. If the farmers were just using single products, Pyganic, Entrust, or the Monterey spinosad, which is the home ground version. So Entrust is $300 or $400 a gallon, really expensive product. Monterey spinosad, which comes in a small jug, is $14 to $20 at the store. So farmers are going to buy the cheap one, so we continue to look at the cheaper options along with the expensive ones. So, but they look good. I think you just have to end up spraying more with the cheaper stuff. So that doesn't last, you don't get the persistence. And then it gets complicated when you have the caterpillars in the mix. So again, we do a lot of one-on-one consultation with farmers when they sit down, because they have to know what they have and document whether it's worse caterpillar. Most likely they have yellow margin leaf beetle, but they go through an educational process. So overall, trap cropping really works, and turnips is very good because it's a low maintenance crop. I like turnips because it's a very low maintenance. I don't want something really expensive that they lose. It's a fairly low cost compared to the cabbage they're trying to sell and get a better price. Direct scouting is the only option. There is no shortcuts. There is no trapping system yet developed for this insect. And you have to manage the populations when they're low, especially on turnips, because you can still get a good coverage if the turnips are small and you have the beetles. Or the larvae, you can kill them with some of the products that I mentioned. University of Florida is doing work on biological control, which is really exciting. And they have shown that the spine soldier bugs, lace wings, and the lady beetles are very effective on getting those adults and even the eggs. So lace wings are really good predators for the eggs of yellow margin leaf beetle. So work continues. The other thing we found out was the weather can really have a huge impact. Last winter, and I'm still checking because there's only so few groups working on this insect nationwide. We don't have all the data about how the weather impacts, but this year we had a very severe cold. We had more than 20 days of temperatures below 32 degrees Fahrenheit freezing point. That seemed to, and then we had 2 snowstorms. So it seems like that killed a huge bunch of caterpillars in our research plots. And I had research plots where the turnips, usually they're eaten up by the beetles, actually bolted. So they were actually able to grow and bolt. And I've never seen that in the last 2 years of doing this. So it's pretty incredible what's going on. And again, we have Okay, it looks like the slide didn't load properly, but we have some publications that mention our research and kind of provide some recommendations. And I have one of these with me. If you need a copy, this is a slide chart that we give out to all organic farmers. But we have updated all our major publications and handbooks with these new recommendations. So I have them if you want to get those. With that, I hope I'm still on time.